Open your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art the rock, my rock, and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so to the chief musician, the Psalm of David. We've talked about those things before. This is obviously given then to be an encouragement to the people of God in the worship of God. In the first section, we have a cry for deliverance. I have that as verses 1 through 8. And notice that even in this time of difficulty, and in this cry of deliverance, that the Lord is the sole trust of the psalmist. He's not put his confidence in any other. He asks for deliverance from shame and destruction. He asks the Lord to hear him. He asks also for a speedy deliverance. And so it speaks of his confidence in the Lord. He calls the Lord his rock, his fortress, and his house of defense. This is that unmovable rock that Jesus is speaking of at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember what he said. He said, those that hear my words and do them, they're like those who built their house upon a rock. The rains came, the floods beat against the house, but it was secure because it was built upon the rock. But they that hear my words and do them not, Well, their house is built upon sand. And so when the rains come and the floods, the house falls. And great is its fall. David declares, "Thou art my rock, thou art my fortress, thou art my house of defense." He does not trust in his own skills or prowess or argumentation. His trust is in the Lord alone. His cry includes a prayer for direction and guidance. He asks to be taught, to be led, to be guided. And so notice that in times of difficulty, this is a more acute need that we have to be led more closely by the Lord and His Word in times of difficulty, because during such times, the temptations to evil are more numerous, more difficult. He confesses his capture and asks the Lord for strength to deliver him, for he sees that his strength is of no avail. And we note finally here that this is for the Lord's name's sake. Save me for thy name's sake. Not save me to get me out of trouble, because this is not pleasant and I don't like it, but save me for thy name's sake, that the Lord would be pleased to glorify himself in the deliverance of his people. He commends his spirit into the hand of the Lord. Into thy hand I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. We remember that these words are found in the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so we might look then back to Psalm 31 as one of these psalms that we ought to consider with a prophetic eye upon Christ. And Christ being surrounded by his enemies, and his death and demise, his difficulty being for the Lord's glory, and Christ committing himself into the hand of his Father, and his Father being his strong rock, and so on. And so all of those truths come to pass there when our Lord Jesus Christ is suffering on the cross. Not only a total trust, but a complete recognition of our privilege to acknowledge the Lord's propriety over us is also included here. We belong to the Lord, hence we commit our safe keeping to Him. And then there's another point here that is important in this first section, and that is that the contrast is given between lying vanities and then faithfulness upon the Lord, or the faithfulness of the Lord. Notice verse 6, "I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord." Lying vanities are simply idols, those empty, unable to save entities, whatever they are, sometimes into the shape of a statue, sometimes into the shape of an idea or an ideology, right? Those are the idols that are lying vanities, that while they promise some kind of deliverance, they are unable to deliver that deliverance. An idol is anything that robs loyalty and trust from the Lord. And they lie because they cannot save, they cannot benefit. They are like clouds without water, like those who promise liberty but enslaved to corruption. All right, so then David gives thanks in advance in the first section here. "Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, thou hast set my feet in a large room." And largeness of room, that means, you know, a wide open space, in contrast to a place of narrowness, a place of stricture that exhibits the freedom that we have in our Lord to obey Him and to follow Him, to be protected by Him. All right, so then the second section, verses 9 through 18, David is mindful of his sins and the toll that they take upon him. This is an important point, for we're not often mindful of the toll that our sins take upon us and those around us. Notice the things that David lists here: grief, sighing, trouble, weakness, reproach, fear, and being forgotten. Seven things David lists out there that pertain to his being, those are the effects that his sin has upon him. Remember what sin promises to us. What does the devil say when he comes to us? He doesn't come say, "Here, take this poison pill." Right? He comes to us and says, "This will be pleasant. Stolen waters are sweet." What are they truly, however? They're like, poking holes in our soul. That's what they are. So he is mindful of men that they are not to be trusted, as they will slander and multiply grief. But then he turns in verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God." And so he then praises the Lord that he is trustworthy. He has placed himself in the Lord's hands, that the Lord will deliver him, that he will cause his face to shine, that the Lord has heard him, and that the Lord has separated him from the unrighteous. So all of those things come to pass there in that second portion. And then the final portion, verses 19 through the end of the psalm, 19 through 24, the final portion is a doxology to the Lord. You know what a doxology is, right? That's just a fancy word that means some prose that is also praise, right? Some prose that is also praise. So there's a doxology to the Lord and an encouragement to all who love the Lord to praise the Lord with David. His goodness is great. He protects his people. It was in haste that caused David to doubt the Lord's mercy. Many times we're not patient enough. The Lord's timing is often much longer than ours. And then finally we hear that those that fear the Lord are blessed, and so we are encouraged then to hope in the Lord, and he shall strengthen our heart. So that is Psalm 31 in a nutshell. There's a lot of wonderful, wonderful things there to meditate on. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.